वनचारे यमुनतीरा वनचारे जय राधामाधव कुंज बिहारी जय गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी यशोदानंदन व्रज जन रंजन यमुना तीर वनचारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारे जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारे जय राधा माधव राधा माधव राधे जय राधा गोपीनाथ राधा गोपीनाथ राधे जय जय प्रभुपाद 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 जय जय प्रभुपाद नित्य गौर हरिबो 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 नित्य गौर हरिबो ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम Canto 1, Chapter 16, entitled How Parikshit Received the Age of Kali. Nijagraho jasavira Nijagraho jasavira Kalim digvijaye kvachet कलिम दिग्विजये क्वचित् नृपलिंग धरम शूद्रम नृपलिंग धरम शूद्रम ग्रंथम गो मिथुनाम मिथुनम पदा ग्रंथम गो मिथुनम पदा निज ग्रह ग्राहौ जसावीर कलिम दिग्विजये क्वचित् नृपलिङ्गधरं शूद्रम् ज्ञन्तं गोमिथुनं पदा निजग्राह सफिशियंटली पनिश्ड ओजसा बाय प्रोवेस वीरह वेलियंट हीरो कलिम अंटू कली द मास्टर ऑफ द एज दिग्विजये ऑन हिज वे टू कॉन्कर द वर्ल्ड क्वचित वंस अपॉन अ टाइम Nripalingadharam, one who passes in the dress of a king. Shudram, the lower class. Gnantam, hurting. Gomitunam, a cow and a bull. Pada, on the leg. Translation. Once when Maharaj Parikshit was on his way to conquer the world, he saw the master of Kali Yuga, who was lower than a Shudra, disguised as a king and hurting the legs of a cow and bull. The king at once caught hold of him to deal sufficient punishment. Purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. The purpose of a king's going out to conquer the world is not for self-aggrandizement. Maharaj Parikshit went out to conquer the world after his ascendance to the throne. But this was not for the purpose of aggression on other states. He was the emperor of the world, and all small states were already under his regime. His purpose in going out was to see how things were going on in terms of the godly state. The king, being the representative of the Lord, has to execute the will of the Lord duly. There is no question of self-aggrandizement. Thus, as soon as Maharaj Parikshit saw that a lower class man in the dress of a king was hurting the legs of a cow and a bull, at once he arrested and punished him. The king cannot tolerate insults to the most important animal, the cow, nor can he tolerate disrespect for the most important man, the Brahmana. Human civilization appears to advance the cause of Brahminical culture, and to maintain it, cow production is essential. There is a miracle in milk, for it contains all the necessary vitamins to sustain human physiological conditions for higher achievements. Brahminical culture can advance only when man is educated to develop the quality of goodness. And for this, there is a prime necessity of food prepared with milk, fruits and grains. Maharaj Parikshit was astonished to see that a Shudra dressed like a ruler was mistreating a cow, the most important animal in human society. The age of Kali means mismanagement and quarrel. And the root cause of all mismanagement and quarrel is that worthless men with the modes of lower class men who have no higher ambition in life come to the helm of state management. Such men at the post of a king are sure to first hurt the cow and the Brahminical culture, thereby pushing all society towards hell. Maharaj Parikshit, trained as he was, got the scent of this root cause of all quarrel in this world. Thus, he wanted to stop it in the very beginning. Om Agyanti Mirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yutaha Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Ragunatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakan Vitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Shute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Vyevacha Paditanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Gaura Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ramo Hare Ramo Rama Ramo Hare 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 Krishna. I'd like to welcome all of you all for today's Srimad Bhagavatam class. Today we are talking about Kali Yuga, the entrance of Kali in this world. So, just to help us understand this whole dimensions of Kali Yuga and the whole sequence of events that got into before this, I would like to introduce you all to a story from the Jaimini Bharat and the Mahabharat, which helps us understand this whole context of Kali Yuga much better. It's a long story, but it's an amazing story. It's nothing less than a thriller, you know, the story that we're going to be discussing. And filled with so many beautiful lessons and so many beautiful understandings, specifically of the mindset of people of Kali Yuga. So the first part of the story may not seem to be related to Kali Yuga, but as we go ahead in the story, you'll understand, especially as I conclude the story, you'll understand exactly how what Parikshit Maharaj was scared of, what Parikshit Maharaj was trying to avert, starts manifesting in the towards the end of Dwapar Yuga and towards the beginning of Kali Yuga. So the story begins with after the end of the Mahabharata war, Yudhishthira Maharaj decides to perform a Rajasu Yajna. And just like we are saying here, how Parikshit performs, he goes out to become a Digvijay to conquer the whole world. Similarly, after the Mahabharata war, Yudhishthira Maharaj sends out a horse to proclaim proprietorship of the whole world. And Yudhishthir sends out this Ashwamedha Yajna horse, Rajasu Yajna horse rather, and he sends out 5 or 6 people, his best people, along with the horse. So Arjun is going along with the horse, Vrishaketu, who is the son of Karna, who goes along with the horse, and a couple of other people, Bhima goes along with the horse, and in some places even Krishna goes along. So in this section of the story that we're going to see, so I'm not going to get into the entire details of the Rajasthri sacrifice and where the horse and all went. That's for some other time. But I'm just going to focus on one small aspect of this horse sacrifice, which happened towards the last phase of the Rajasthri Yajna. So this one particular time where the horse entered into the ocean. Now, obviously, if a horse is going to enter into the ocean, it's complex, isn't it? So when the horse started entering into the ocean, this is not an ordinary horse. It actually started running over the water. You know, not drowning in the ocean, it was running over the water. And Krishna tells Arjun that the horses have entered the ocean, and he says there are only 5 warriors in this world whose chariots can run over the ocean. And Krishna names them: Arjun, Hamsadvaja, Babruvahan, Pradyumna, and Mayurdvaja. These are the 5 people whose horses can run over the ocean. You know, the chariot can run. So these five chariots ran over the ocean following that particular horse. And the horse ran across the ocean and reached an island. And in that island, it began to graze around as if nothing happened, you know. So all these people reached that island. And in that island, they saw a sage, a rishi. And he was a very ancient type of sage. And in his hand, he was holding a dry banyan leaf. He was holding a small dry banyan leaf. Termites had formed hill all over him. There were snakes staying in that hill. Deers were coming and rubbing their body on him as if he's a, you know, tree or something like that, you know. And this rishi was absolutely focused on his samadhi, absorbed. The moment Krishna reached where the sage was, the sage opened his eyes and he said, "Finally, you have come." And he was speaking to Krishna. And Krishna introduced these 5 warriors to this sage who was there. And Krishna said, "This is Rishi Bakadalbhya." So Bakadalbhya, he said, "This person has been holding this leaf for a very long time." And Arjun, he was very intrigued. When you say very long time, how long, you know, he has been sitting here with this leaf? So the Rishi smiled. And this Rishi said, "I have lost count of how many Markandeya Rishis have come, how many Lomash Rishis have come, and I only know that 20 Brahmas have come and gone in the time I've been sitting here and doing the tapasya, you know." Now, you know, just to give you all some statistics, one Brahma's life is 311,020,000,000,000 years, you know. And this person has been sitting here for 20 Brahmas, you know. And he said, "After living my entire life, seeing 20 Brahmas, you know, I've realized only one thing, that life is short." Imagine, you know, after living such a long time, he is saying life is short, you know. So Mayurdhwaja was shocked. He said, "Why are you holding this leaf in your hand for such a long period of time, you know?" The sage, Bakadalbhya, he replies, and he said, "Every time Brahma's era ends, one Brahma, you know, his lifetime ends basically, there is a total annihilation. Everything in creation is destroyed. And when everything is in creation is destroyed, there's only water left everywhere. And when only water is everywhere, I have seen one banyan leaf floating in that water. And on that banyan leaf, I have seen a little blue boy on that banyan leaf. And when that little blue boy sees me, he takes his toe and sucks on his toe. And he's looking at me with his big eyes. And look how kind he is. Today he has come in front of me." He's looking at Krishna and telling, you know. So this rishi got up from his seat, runs and embraces Krishna. And he said, "The success of Yudhishthir Maharaj's Rajasya sacrifice is that Krishna is there with him. Nothing else matters. He said, instead of sending the horse to the whole world, you should have made the horse circumambulate Krishna. That is completion of the Rajasui sacrifice. It's as good as the horse running around the whole world. So Krishna tells him that, and Krishna is speaking to the sage, he says, we are so fortunate to have the opportunity of seeing you. And he said, you have seen 20 Brahmas come and go. Now, after seeing you, now we feel Yudhishthira Maharaj's sacrifice is complete. And we would be really grateful if you can come for the Rajasui Yajna of Yudhishthira Maharaj. And this particular sage, Bhakadalbhya, he says, so he starts narrating an experience of his. So when, Krishna glorifies Bhakadalbhya so much, the sage says, let me tell you something about myself and my experience of life, So Bhakadalbhya is sharing a very unique realization that he has had in his life. Now imagine a sage who has lived such a long period of time, if he has to recount one story, which is the most touching story of his life. I mean, how many millions of stories he'll have to tell, isn't it? We in 20, 30 years, we have so many stories to tell about our life. Bhakadalbhya tells this one story about his life. He says, millions of years ago, I was sitting in this spot only. And the Brahma of that particular age came and met me. And he wanted to know why I'm holding this leaf. And Brahma, he's telling me, you have been holding this leaf for so many years. I'm sure you must be having some desire. He said, I have the power to fulfill any desire. Just tell me what desire you have and I'll fulfill it. This sage, Bhakadalbhya, he says, he actually got very angry on Brahma. He says, get lost from here. I don't have any desires. So the sage is telling Brahma like this. And Brahma, he became so furious, very upset by the sage. As soon as Brahma got upset and the sage was upset, both of them were angry basically, a huge whirlwind rose. And both of them were sucked into that whirlwind and transported to another universe. And in the other universe, there was one eight-headed Brahma standing. And these four-headed Brahma and Bhakadalbhya Rishi reaches over there, And the eight-headed Brahma asks him, who are you? He says, I'm Brahma and this is my disciple, He introduces like that. So this eight-headed Brahma is least impressed. He said, you're talking about Brahma, you being Brahma of some other universe? He said, I'm the only Brahma in this universe. And then he says, if you want to remain in this universe, this eight-headed Brahma is telling the four-headed Brahma, He says, if you want to remain in this universe, then you go and get water that I can use to wash my bum, The moment he says that, like really insulting the four-headed Brahma, there was another whirlwind that happens, and then this four-headed Brahma and eight-headed Brahma and Bhakadalbhya Rishi get transported to another universe where there's a 16-headed Brahma there, And the 16-headed Brahma is asking the three of them, who are you all? Where did you come from, And this eight-headed Brahma says, I am Brahma. And this is an imitation Brahma. And this is another sage. And this 16-headed Brahma says, no, I am the only Brahma in this world. And then they get sucked and they just go to another universe with a 32-headed Brahma. Like this, they keep going from one universe to another till they reach a universe where there is a 1,000-headed Brahma. So Bhakadalbhya Rishi, he kind of, after this whole episode, he comes to realization that in this realization, in this entire episode, I realized only one thing. If you want to grow, the only way you can grow in your spiritual journey is by being humble. If you think you are smart, there is somebody smarter than you. If you think you are knowledgeable, there is somebody more knowledgeable than you. If you think you are great, there is somebody much more greater than you. But if you think that you are nothing, then there is scope for you to learn so many things. So Bhakadalbhya Rishi, when he tells this story, everyone standing there is amazed. They just, the realization that this sage is carrying after so many decades. And then Krishna tells Bhakadalbhya Rishi, can you please come with us to Hastinapur? so that you can be a part of the Rashtriya sacrifice. And Bhagadalbhya Rishi, for the first time in his so many millions of years, he gets out from that place. And he goes in a palanquin with these people to Rashtriya sacrifice. So, after the horse has gone around all the whole world, and there is a formal Rashtriya Yajna that is happening. And in the formal Rashtriya Yajna, the last part of the Yajna is where the horse sacrifice actually happens. So, in this ceremony, there are hundreds of sages and so many great personalities, including Narad Muni, including sages like Bhagadalbhya, so many people that have come over there. So, after the whole Yajna is over, and the Yajna is completed when they actually do a horse sacrifice. And the way they do the horse sacrifice is amazing. When the horse comes back, the sages go and test the horse to see if this horse is actually, you know, done worthy of sacrifice. And they prick the horse with a small thorn. Where they prick the horse, instead of blood coming out, milk oozes out. That's the test, if the horse is actually pure, you know. And when they cut the horse, the entire horse disintegrates and camphor falls on the ground. The head of the horse rises to the heavens and the horse straight goes to the heavenly planet in its, you know, gets a higher realm. And the camphor that falls, that camphor is thrown into the fire. And that completes the Rashtriya Yajna. When the Rashtriya Yajna is completed, from the heavens, flower showers on Yudhishthira Maharaj. So when the flowers shower on Yudhishthira Maharaj, everyone is so happy, they are blessing, they are so thrilled. At that time, one mongoose comes from somewhere in the assembly. You know, I've seen mongooses? Mongooses are very scary animals. They are like, they just run away when the moment they see some human beings. But from the middle of all the human beings' legs, this one mongoose comes out. And it goes to the place where the flowers have rained from the heavens. And it rolls itself on the flowers, the mongoose. So now, you know, people are just wondering, who is this mongoose? And how did this mongoose come in? And why is it so, like, you know, not getting scared at all? And then suddenly the mongoose begins to speak in a human voice. The mongoose declares, it says, "O King Yudhishthir, let me tell you that your sacrifice was not as successful and as pure as a sacrifice of a Brahmana who gave me a bowl of barley soaked in water." So when this mongoose speaks like this, the whole assembly is shocked. And the mongoose gives a purport of what it meant. Many years back, there was a very poor Brahmana from Kurukshetra. And this Brahmana lived with his wife and son and daughter-in-law. They lived in a small house. And he lived by begging. You know, whatever little charity he would get, he would eat little food. So for almost 6 days, they had not eaten food because there was a terrible famine over there. Nothing available. After 6 days of not eating any food, one day they begged and got a little bit of food, basically. And in this little food that they had, it was just barley flour soaked in water. Four of them had to eat that little bit of food. And they needed that just to survive. If they're not eaten for 6 days, if they didn't eat this, they would surely die. So that was the situation. They divided the food into, you know, equal portions. So they was just going to start eating. At that point, a very hungry Brahman comes as a guest. He knocks on the door. They open the door and he says, "I'm very, very hungry. Can you please feed me something?" This Brahman, he gives his share of the meal to this person. This person eats it. He says, "I'm still more hungry." His wife also gives her share. And the Brahman eats it and he says, "I'm still more hungry." The children also give. This fellow eats all of it. And he asks them, "Are you not angry on me? I've eaten everything that you all have collected and you have nothing else with you." And this person, this Brahman, he says, "No. We are grateful that we got an opportunity to serve you. That particular guest, he was actually not a Brahmin, he was Dharma personified, come to test these people. So when this particular Dharma personified, he says, the greatest test of any human being is in the midst of the greatest crisis, how they behave. That's when you test a human being. So if you want to test anybody, know their true character, true nature. When they're going through the greatest crisis of their life, how they behave, that determines the true nature of a person. And he said, you are qualified to go to the heavens because you have such a good consciousness. And the four of them actually got to go to heaven. And, you know, flowers showered on them. And this mongoose was roaming around over there, you know. He rolled on that on the flowers mixed with flour. The moment he rolled on that flowers, half of his body became golden. Actual made of gold, half of his body. And half of his body remained, you know, the way it is, basically. So, after that, this mongoose kept roaming around in all different sacrifices. And wherever it would roll, it was just hoping that other half of his body also becomes golden. No matter how many places it rolled, the other half was not becoming golden only. So finally, this mongoose came to know about Yudhishthira Maharaj's last few sacrifice. And he said, I thought if I roll on the flowers dropped in this sacrifice, because it is Yudhishthira Maharaj's sacrifice, I might become fully gold. And he said, the unfortunate part is that after I rolled in this also, I didn't become fully gold. Which means your sacrifice is not as good as that sacrifice that happened over there, you know. So after the mongoose narrated this particular story, he disappeared, completely disappeared. And no one is able to understand who this mongoose is, where he came from and why he said all this and why he disappeared. One sage who was in that assembly, he narrated the story of this mongoose. He said, there was once a rishi named Jamadagni and he was milking the celestial Kamadhenu cow to offer the milk to his ancestors in a special sacrifice. At that time, anger personified appeared in the form of a snake. And anger personified dropped one drop of poison into the milk. And, the anger personified wanted to test the anger levels of the sage, basically. Sometimes anger tests all of us and we all fail miserably, isn't it? So anger personified wanted to test the anger level of the sage. And this rishi, the moment he understood, this is anger that is testing me, he didn't get angry. And anger understood that this sage is not angry, and anger personified became very respectful to the sage. The sage told anger, I have no grudge against you, and you don't need to ask forgiveness. But if you sincerely are repenting for the mistake that you have made, you should ask forgiveness from my ancestors to whom I was supposed to offer this milk. And then he said, the anger personified went to the ancestors of Jamadagni Rishi. And the ancestors of Jamadagni Rishi cursed him to become a mongoose. And, you know, anger personified pleaded to them. He said, please don't curse me like this. And they told him that the day you narrate this story of a Brahmana in Kurukshetra to Emperor Yudhishthira Maharaj in front of Krishna, that day you will come back to this, you will be delivered from this mongoose body. So like this, the sages concluded that there is a reason why half of mongoose body didn't become golden. The reason half of mongoose's body didn't become golden is because the effort done by the Brahmana in Kurukshetra was at a great personal sacrifice. But though Yudhishthira Maharaj did such a big Rajasuya Yajna, he didn't do anything. He didn't make any sacrifices as such, isn't it? The Rajasuya Yajna was happened by the money of so many kings and so many princes all over the world. But because Krishna was present in the sacrifice, just by the presence of Krishna in the sacrifice, the entire sacrifice became a success. And this mongoose got delivery. He didn't just, his body just didn't become golden. He got liberated from the cycle. He got liberated from this whole cycle of birth and death. Now, I'm coming to the real part of the story, why Kali Yuga comes in picture, you know. So now, at this point when the sacrifice is completed, two brahmanas come. And these two brahmanas are quarreling like anything. Now this is the end of Dwapar Yuga, the last phase of Dwapar Yuga. And these two brahmanas come quarreling to Yudhishthira Maharaj. And Yudhishthira Maharaj is surprised that in the middle of such a pure yagya, why are these two brahmanas quarreling with each other? So Yudhishthira Maharaj calls them and asks them, what's your problem? What happened? So these brahmanas explain that one brahmana sold his land to another brahmana. Okay. And the second brahmana, he was tilling the land. In that land, he found a big pot of gold buried inside it. So the two of them started quarreling whose pot it is, to whom it belongs. The brahmana who sold the land to the second brahmana, he said, since I have sold the land to you, the pot of gold also belongs to you. But the brahmana who bought the land and it found the gold, he said, no, I only paid money for the land, I didn't pay money for the gold. So the pot of gold actually belongs to you. And they were fighting with each other saying, no, I don't want the pot of gold, you should take it. The other fellow is saying, no, I don't want the pot of gold, you should take it. What a fight. Interesting fight, isn't it? So these people came fighting to Yudhishthira Maharaj to ask him whom the pot of gold belongs to. Yudhishthira Maharaj was amazed by the quality of the fight itself. And Yudhishthira, he was thinking what to say. So he asked Krishna, who was standing over there. He said, what should we do? Krishna said, tell them to keep the pot of gold here and come after 3 months. Yudhishthira told them, keep the pot of gold here, come after 3 months. They went. And Yudhishthira asked Krishna, why did you tell to keep after 3 months? Krishna said, Kali Yuga is just beginning. In 3 months, Kali Yuga will full-fledged happen. Then their decision will change, basically. So he said, after 3 months, you can divide the pot of gold into equal parts and give it to both of them. Exactly 3 months later, these two brahmanas come. Now the fight is opposite. The brahmana whose land it is saying, actually the pot of gold belongs to me. And the other person says, no, I bought the land with the pot of gold, also it belongs to me. Massive fight that they are claiming the pot of gold themselves. Now Yudhishthira understood Kali Yuga has begun officially. And he divided the pot of gold into two, gave it to both the brahmanas and told them go. This is the introduction of Kali in this world. Begins with gold only. The very place that Parikshit Maharaj is preventing Kali from entering. So Krishna explained to Yudhishthira and the Pandavas, now that Kali has entered, you will see a lot of anomalies in this world. And as predicted, within a few days of the beginning of Kali Yuga, many, many interesting observations are made by the Pandavas. So the Pandavas one time gathered together along with Krishna for a serious discussion after a couple of days of Kali Yuga beginning, seeing how things have changed in this world. Bhima, he says, I want to report some incidences that have come to my notice. And these incidences make no sense to me. So Bhima said, the first complaint I received from a farmer was that his neighbor's fence is entering into his compound on its own. He said, how can a fence move like that? Now, have you ever seen somebody's wall moving towards your wall, towards your house? Bhima is saying the fence only started moving, And then he said, there was a pot maker who came with a complaint. He said, I have one big pot and I have 5 small pots. This pot maker, every day he has a habit. Today, something strange happened. He filled the big pot with water. And from that big pot of water, he filled 5 small pots with water. And the 5 small pots were full and the big pot became empty. But when he transferred the water back from the 5 small pots into the big pot, there was only half water. His question to Bhima was, where did half water go? Bhima was confused. He never heard a problem like this. And he said, third problem was even more stranger. He said, a man reported that he saw another man
threading an elephant through the eye of a needle. But that was not interesting. The interesting thing was that when he threaded the elephant through the eye of a needle, the elephant passed but the tail got stuck. How is it possible that elephant can pass through the eye of a needle but tail gets stuck over there? And he said fourth was another very strange activity that he saw. There were five wells in one place, in one area. Four wells were overflowing with water. But in that same area, the fifth well was dry, totally dry. He said, how is it possible that in the same area, four wells are full and one well is dry? And he said, there was a fifth, another incident that happened. There was a very deep pond and many shallow ponds around it. And when the shallow ponds were full with water and people go to the shallow ponds often to have bath and to use the water of the shallow pond, but the big pond was dry and nobody bothered going about it, going towards it. So he said, why are people doing this? Why are people going to the small pond and avoiding the big pond? And why is the big pond not full at all? So when Bhima said all these five unbelievable things, they wanted to hear from Krishna, what do these five things mean? And Krishna, he explained. He was going to start explaining. Before that, Arjun said, wait. I also observed some things. Let me tell you what I observed. Then you give answer to everything together. Arjun said, I observed a very ghastly incident today when I was in the forest. He saw, I heard a very enchanting cuckoo singing beautifully. The cuckoo was singing so beautifully. But when I went to that particular spot where the cuckoo was singing so beautifully, I saw that the cuckoo is singing so beautifully, but simultaneously it is killing a rabbit mercilessly. How can someone sing so beautifully and simultaneously kill somebody? And Yudhishthir said, I saw something shocking. I saw an elephant that has two trunks. I've never seen an elephant that has two trunks. You know? And the Nakul said, I saw a cow that was licking its calf. And the cow, usually when the cow gives birth to a calf, it licks the calf, isn't it? To lick the amniotic fluids from the calf. But the cow continued licking the calf so much till the calf started bleeding. And the cowherd person had to actually pull the cow away from the calf to save the calf. And then finally Sahadev said, I saw something unbelievable. He said, I saw a huge boulder on top of a mountain. It was rolling down the mountain very rapidly. And when it was about to roll off the cliff, there was a little plant standing on the edge of the mountain. And that little plant stopped that boulder from rolling off. That huge boulder stopped exactly where the little plant was. And such a small plant was able to stop a huge boulder. After all the Pandavas spoke all their strange observations, Krishna said, Kali Yuga has officially begun. And the brothers wanted to know, what do all these incidents mean? And Krishna gives an interpretation of what each of these incidents mean, indicating what is the mindset of people in Kali Yuga. And if you just, as I'm going to share with you all, the interpretation of Krishna, it speaks bang on about the mindset of human beings in Kali Yuga today. And if you actually look at these observations and the way human beings function in Kali Yuga, it's so apt. And this is 5,000 years before. It's even more relevant today than any time in the past, isn't it? So Krishna began to explain each incident. He said the first incident of the fence moving into somebody else's property symbolizes greed and dissatisfaction in Kali Yuga. It just means that people in Kali Yuga are always going to want more and more and more. They are never going to be satisfied with what they have. And they will always try to usurp somebody else's property, neighbor's property. This is the first symptom of Kali Yuga. The nature of the uncontrolled mind is that it can make a greedy man seem like a needy man. It can make a greedy man seem like a needy man. Needy man needs things, right? But a greedy man has too much, but he still needs more. The second thing Krishna speaks about, the big pots, you know, filling the smaller pots. But when the smaller pots are filled back into the big pot, it's only half full. He said, in Kali Yuga, if you give 100% love to somebody, you will get back only 50% in return. You actually observe this. So many people come and ask me this question. I love this person so much. Why is not reciprocating back as much? I'll tell, no, you only get 50% back. It's not possible in Kali Yuga that if you give 100% love, you'll get back 100% in return. That's the nature of Kali Yuga. Expect only 50% back in return. The third thing Krishna speaks about, and of course, why do people not give back 100% in return? Simply because in Kali Yuga, people don't have gratitude. In Kali Yuga, people's gratitude levels are decreasing. So every day we become less grateful to people, to what people have done for us. The third thing Krishna speaks about, so this elephant passed through the eye of a needle and tail got stuck. What does it really mean in Kali Yuga? He's saying, the tail being stuck and the elephant passing, it represents extravagance and stinginess. That means in Kali Yuga, people are willing to spend a lot on themselves, but not a penny in charity. You ask someone, give some donation to the temple, give some donation to some poor people, nothing will come out of the pocket. But you tell them to buy one shoe worth 6,000 rupees, immediately gone. Immediately. One chappal worth 6,000, 10,000 rupees, chappal. Same chappal you get 500 rupees. But they'll spend 6,000, 7,000 rupees on a chappal. But you ask them to buy, to give something in charity, 10 rupees, 100 rupees to a beggar, never. Nothing comes out. So elephant passes through an eye of a needle, tail gets stuck. So basically people are so busy bathing in showers of gold that they have no time or no inclination to sprinkle little drops of kindness on other people. The fourth thing Krishna speaks about in the nature of Kali Yuga, he says that there are four overflowing wells, and in the middle of the four overflowing wells, there's one completely dry well. It symbolizes the existence of poor among rich people. It simply means in Kali Yuga, the rich will become richer and the poor will become poorer. South Bombay, we were sitting, you know. One side, the richest of rich people. Same side, slums. Poorest of poor people. And sometimes in the same building itself, rich and poor people staying together. That's the nature of Kali Yuga. There's a four wells filled with water, and next to it, one well dry completely, you know. Absolutely no water. So here, in Kali Yuga, unfortunately, the distance between places in the world is becoming smaller and smaller. Anywhere in the world, from one place to another, you can travel in a matter of 1 hour. Literally. But the distance between neighbors is growing wider and wider. That's the nature of Kali Yuga. So then the fifth thing Krishna speaks about, he says that there is a big pond which is empty and small ponds are full. It symbolizes that in this world, Krishna is symbolic understanding, and it's so apt, you know, if you look at it rightly. He says that wise, erudite scholars don't get much attention, and foolish and fake people get so much attention, you know. He says in Kali Yuga, people who are great sages with deep understanding and knowledge will always lack followers and will always lack appreciation. But shallow human beings who are frauds and who are literally fools, they get all the attention in the world. Example, TikTok. I mean, if you are most foolish, you get more followers, basically, you know. So the world, the way the world is going towards things, you speak deep stuff, Nobody wants to listen only. But you speak shallow things and stupid kind of pranks, and you know, nowadays people do all these funny type of things, pranks basically. People love that. You're going and troubling somebody else, and people love what you're doing basically. The nature of Kali Yuga is like this. So this is Krishna's instructions over here. I mean, this is like, when Krishna spoke this, there was no Instagram and TikTok and no social media. But imagine how relevant it is today, isn't it? So superficial teachings is very, very easy to access. But deep teaching, which requires you to think a little bit, very difficult in Kali Yuga to process and digest. The sixth thing that Krishna speaks about is melodious cuckoo, you know, singing so melodiously and ripping open a rabbit, you know, it signifies exploitation. It means people will speak sweetly, but the real intention is to manipulate and exploit people. In Kali Yuga, filled with sweet talkers, stock markets, you know, and all kinds of financial frauds that are happening today, all sweet talking, convince you, you know, land mafia, the whole real estate world, you know, convinces you to buy property. It's all sweet talking. And the intent behind the sweet talking is to rip you off, basically. And the seventh thing Krishna speaks about is the elephant with two trunks, you know. It implies two-faced people, basically. That means people will be insincere and deceitful. That means they will have one face for the world and one face for themselves. Essentially, it talks about a dual life, basically, you know. And the eighth thing Krishna speaks about is the cow who has profuse love for its calf is licking his calf. It actually making the calf bleed, which symbolically represents the damaging effects of overindulgence. What Krishna is trying to tell is, in Kali Yuga, parents will spoil their children by giving them too much. Excess of everything. It results in erosion of children's moral, ethical values and literally renders them unfit for society. It seems that the parents are loving the children by giving them so many gadgets and so many types of fast foods and so much variety of things to play and all that. Actually, they're destroying them. They're not loving them. This is not love. This is actually a way to destroy the kids, basically. So, it is said, when parents don't say no to their children sufficiently, they're actually leading their children to destruction. The real world says no to us too many times, isn't it? But if parents don't teach you at home to learn how to deal with no's, when you go into the real world, you'll go mad. Because in the real world, you have to face more no's than yes, isn't it? You know, so parents create an artificial world where whatever the children ask, they say yes. And then when children go to a job or to a business, and then they hear so many no's, they can't handle it only. So this is the example that Krishna is giving. And finally, the last thing that Krishna concludes, the ninth story about the boulder rolling off a cliff and it's stopping in that one small plant, basically. So that small plant, it represents, you know, many people who say that plant actually is Tulsi plant that is standing over there, you know. So what it really means is that in Kali Yuga, the weight of people's sins will be so much that their spiritual, moral, ethical downfall will continue unhindered. That means everyone is literally rolling off the cliff. So much sin people have accumulated, they are literally rolling off that cliff, like a big boulder rolling off the cliff. And the only way they can be saved, if they turn to Sri Krishna and chant his holy names. That is the only thing that will stop them from rolling off the cliff, basically. So that means, what is rolling off the cliff? Rolling off the cliff essentially is talking about depths of immorality, it's talking about blasphemy, it's talking about materialism. So what stops people from rolling off the cliff into all these things is the process of remembering the Lord. The burden of sin may be very heavy. You know, that stone that is rolling off a cliff may be very heavy. But the chanting of the holy names of Krishna has the power to nullify all the sinful reactions immediately. So Krishna explains to the Pandavas that Kali Yuga has many anomalies and many, many shortcomings. But there is only one good thing that is good in Kali Yuga. The power of the holy names of the Lord. Everything else in Kali Yuga is taking you down the hill only. The only thing that is there in Kali Yuga is that little holy name, which is like the little plant on the edge of the cliff. So all of us, we are in the midst of Kali Yuga, and we are all super Kali Yuga products. So the only hope for us, all these 7-8 things that Krishna spoke about will happen to us also, whether we are devotees or not devotees. But the only hope is that we have advantage of that little holy name that is sticking up, you know, on the edge of the cliff. And no matter how powerful the sins are, no matter how heavy those sins are, taking shelter of that holy names of the Lord is the hope. Unfortunately, people in this world don't take that very seriously. Because they think, what can that little plant do to such a huge, heavy stone? But they underestimate the power of Krishna's holy names. So in this context, and considering, you know, we are all such intensely into the depths of Kali Yuga, the temple is organizing the Holy Name Festival coming next week, where there is going to be an opportunity to cling on to that little plant that is waiting for us, that is waiting for us to take shelter, you know. And that little plant can actually become a powerful tree the more people that are associated and the more devotees intensely chant the holy names. So let us take advantage of this little plant that is there for us, which is saving grace in Kali Yuga. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Granthra Shrimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki.